Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? Another micro episode with our dear friend Erica Lenore from Good Leap. Now, this one is not a Good Leap promotion. It's merely about making financing fun. Everyone needs financing. They just don't know how much of it they need, or you don't know how to use it. So in this episode, Chad's a big believer in financing, one of the largest financers in the Service Titan platform. So he really knows how to put this out there and make it work. And he commits that this is what really helped Peterman Brothers scale, was offering financing, and they're exceptional at it. So we give so many great takeaways in this micro episode. Enjoy it with Erica Lenore and Good Leap. Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, along with my co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman, the Ron Colley ringer, as he calls himself. I haven't said that one in a little bit. It feels good to say that. Yeah,
and nor do I call myself that, but thank you, Chris.
He does, but he just don't say that loud. He's shy. Look at him. His face is red already. The old Ron Colley ringer. Hey, by the way, this is going to be like completely off topic already, right out the gate. I was back in my home state, the great state of Indiana. And I was at my mom's house, and she was showing me all these old pictures that she got from my uncle. And she showed me an old, oh God, I'm going to regret saying this live on the air now that I think about it, but I'm down the path. So I'm going to give Chad this little gift. So she was showing me an old, you know, when your parents would say, like, if your kids, you know, when you graduate, you save like the, you know, the, what do you call that thing?
Senior superlative.
Whatever the things are, but, or yeah. when you have, you know, award ceremonies, you save a little pamphlet and all this stuff. Or my daughter's in choir, so she'd save. Well, I was in show choir. Okay. Vocal Jazz Ensemble was the actual name. You know. I was in show choir. I noticed on there that we competed against at Southmont High School. We competed against Ron Colley. And my Southmont panache, as we were called, were victorious over Ron Colley, whatever their dumbass name of their singers were. But we won, just so you know. And I know that might not sound like much to the, you know, to those who played football and basketball and like some of the sports that matter. I was a wrestler. I was in show choir and I wrestled. Okay, that's how I offset the merciful ball busting that I had for 4 years of high school for being in show choir and on a wrestling team. But I saw Ron Colley, made me think of you, Chad Peterman.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, and Erica, what you don't know about Chad is he actually tried out for the show choir, but he didn't make it.
I did not try out for the show choir.
But he thought about it.
I did not.
No. Didn't even think about it.
I mean, he really is a good singer. He just hides it, you know, and like he's like shy on the podcast all the time, but like he stayed with me plenty of times. And trust me, when the karaoke machine comes out, It's Raining Men is his go-to song.
There you go.
It's raining men. Shh, hallelujah. Right, Jeff?
No, okay. That is wildly incorrect, but you know, keep rolling with it.
Okay, moving on to more important things. Hey, Chad, we've got our dear friend Erica on the podcast today. I know that I've known Erica for a little bit now. And actually, fun fact about Erica is we have Liz Patel, who leads our CSR coaching team here at Rhino and is a phenomenal human being, an excellent coach, and a great leadership of that team that's been growing and growing. And Erica, sent her over to us. So I appreciate that. And it's because I tried to get you to come, but you didn't want to be a Rhino. So damn it. we have Erica on, and she is the director of business development for Good Leap. Great company. I know Chad is Chad's been partnered with Good Leap for quite a while. Does a ton of stuff with financing. Chad, aren't you like in the Service Titan world, like don't you have some of the biggest like financing led sales rates in ServiceTitan or something like that? Something along those lines. Isn't that right?
Actually, I was talking to Connor the other day. That was news to me. He said that we were. So here we are, thanks to our good friends at Good Leap and our training team here. I think that's the key, is it's how you present it is in how successful it will be. And then you obviously need a great partner behind you, taking care of all of the nuts and bolts behind the scenes.
Yeah. And to all the listeners, that's what this is about. It's not a Good Leap podcast, but we have our subject matter expert, which is Erica Lenore, on here. And she will be our go-to for all the questions that we have, but it's around how you can leverage financing in today's market. Now, don't just go away because you're like, oh, I know how to finance. I'm talking about today's climate, like what's coming, you know, with the way that our economy is progressing, what's it going to look like next year, approval rates, you know, like all the things I just want to talk about. And we're going to keep this one short and sweet, because like I said, at the beginning of this, nobody's going to listen to an hour worth of financing. Some will. Okay. So to my CFOs or my, you know, in my bookkeeper, whoever, for most people aren't going to listen to an hour's worth of financing. So we're going to blow through this thing if I would just get to the point, right? Like the podcast suggests. So Erica, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Me too. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for being good leapers too, Chad. We love working with you guys over the years and partnering with Rhino on a few things. It's just fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good leapers. Is that what you're called?
That's what I say. I like to say, hey, thanks for being a good leaper. So I don't know.
No shit. Chad, you're a good leaper.
I know. I think we need shirts.
Oh my gosh.
Great.
Marketing team is
good. Yeah. Leaper. You're like a, what do you call it? What are Taylor Swift Swifty? You're like a Swifty for Good Leap.
Yeah, exactly. We get friendship bracelets and all.
Friendship bracelets.
Okay. Well, we've accomplished something right out the gate. We're Good Leapers and friendship bracelets. Now you know what your swag is at all the upcoming shows, Erica.
That's right. We got to do that for next year.
Well, let's do this. Okay. So before we get into some of these, you know, the questions, you know, that the listeners really want to hear, is maybe just share a quick bit of your background, because you worked at Power Selling Pros for a bit, you know, and then you made a transition and went through cancer and kicked its ass. Hallelujah. But maybe just share a little bit of like 30,000 foot view of your background for listeners, so that way we can set the tone a little bit, and then we're going to jump into some of the questions.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So a little bit about me here. I mean, 3,000 foot view. My favorite thing about life is being a mom. I love being a mom to my 3-year-old girl. Her name is Arwen. Yes. From Lord of the Rings.
Adorable. If you were at Pantheon this past year, you saw her running around.
She definitely loves those trade shows. That's for sure. So
she covered the entire trade show floor like at least 100 times.
She did. And that's why my husband was chasing her, not me. So she'll be back at Pantheon this year, probably. So she comes around with me. But it's my favorite thing, you know, just God, family, all of those kind of values are just very important to me. And I think that's what drives a lot of why we do what we do and how we go about doing it. And so, yeah, I've done a lot of customer service training in the past, and came over to Good Leap about 3 years ago, and just having a really good time. And, you know, that's, I guess, short and sweet. And I love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, clearly. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll notice that the plethora of daggers and swords and whatever else behind the wall behind Erica.
You got faces and wizard staffs and all sorts of things.
I mean, potions, you name it. She's got it. Yeah. So what I see is, don't try and break into Erica's place.
Or if you want to come visit, let's go buy some watermelons and cantaloupes and we'll play Fruit Ninja. So
that sounds amazing. You should post a video on just doing that.
We have. It's pretty fun.
So one, excited to have you on here. It's always awesome to have friends on here too. And Erica is a friend of both of ours too. So this will be fun. The thing that you have to talk about, even if you don't want to, is financing, because it's so important and it's such an important part of your business if you're utilizing it.
Yes.
Like if you're doing, and if you're training on it, and if you're paying attention, if you're not paying attention to the economy, that's okay. That's what you have good partners for too, but you have to do something with it. So maybe let's just talk about like today's economic climate. Okay. So we're, you know, just over halfway through 2025, regardless of which way you voted. You're feeling the impact in the economy. I personally believe, I was just having this conversation with Tommy like a couple weeks ago when we were up in Idaho about what is next year going to look like. And we both have like really positive outlooks on what the economy looks like next year. Hopefully interest rates are dropping down. So money's a little bit cheaper to get, and you know, approval rates go up and like all the things. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. Of course, it's just my theory, but makes me feel better to think about it that way. So if it doesn't happen, then whatever. But what if it does? Yeah, and maybe let's just talk today, like about, you know, interest rates, you know, consumer credit tightening, like what is the impact approval rates across, like what are some of the impacts on approval rates across just home services today? Like Chad's killing it with financing. I don't want to get to that part yet about how, but like what's your just take on today's climate and then what's going to look like next year?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of things like people just looking for different types of solutions, right? Like I've seen people going into leasing programs and GoodLeap is building a leasing program. You know, there's people finding different solutions and different ways to have like financing for their customers. And so that's just one of the things is, you know, the typical traditional my favorite F word or least favorite F word financing, you know, it's not a scary thing. There's a lot of different ways that you can go about providing solutions to your homeowners. And Chad, you guys have seen that, right? It's like, if it's easy for a homeowner to grasp, like they're going to go forward with something. And you've probably seen that hands over with your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there is a lot more creativity out there. I think people are maybe more in tune with it, where, you know, as before you were coming to the home and they didn't even know why you were like, fine, what is this thing that you have? And I wasn't expecting to finance what I'm buying from you. But, you know, I was just in a meeting earlier today and, you know, just talking about the rise of how much a system costs. Like, I remember not even 5 years ago, like you were like, what did that customer just buy? They just spent $10,000. And today, I mean, I don't know, the majority of our systems are probably at least over 15 and a number of them are over 20. And so I think it's understanding that this stuff has gotten more expensive. And so how are you going to help your customer, you know, make that purchase and get into the whatever system that they want on the HVAC side? And I think it's even more important for some of those, you know, when you think plumbing, electrical, HVAC, some of those smaller repairs even, can you offer a solution that, you know, spreads out payments or lines up with their situation? Or it just seems like people are a lot more in tune with it from a customer perspective, which I think makes it easier, but we still have to do our job in educating and helping them find whatever solution that they need.
What are the more popular options? Like, do you have like a deferred payment option? You have no interest payment options. Like what are the more popular options that the consumer is taking advantage of?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. Our popular options are really a 15-year loan for a lot of reasons. You know, it gives people a low monthly payment to start. We're seeing a lot of things where that 15-year is paid off within 5 years, you know? And so sometimes, you know, people are talking, well, the life of a system is only 10 years, you know, but it's okay because most people do pay those off earlier, but they just really need a low monthly payment to pull the trigger a lot of times. And of course, there's deferred loans. There's lots of options. You know, we've got so many different ways that contractors can pick and choose how they can sell it first to a customer, like how they can comfortably offer financing. And then, of course, you know, best practice groups and stuff like that, sales trainers, GoodLeap, we all can help with being able to deliver that. But really, it's in a contractor's hands of how can you know, comfortably deliver this to your homeowners. But also, it is about the homeowner, right? Of course, we want contractors to have more sales and grow their business. But we're in it for the homeowner. Like, what's going to be a good experience for them? Soft credit pulls, no application fees, having a good customer experience. That's what I'm really big on. And, you know, when you think about going in and selling in the home or answering phones as a CSR or whatever it is, you're thinking about how does this customer feel? Like, people will buy everything off of feelings most of the time, right? Like, I'm going to buy a $120 pair of Lululemons. Like, well, it's because I like them and I feel good when I wear them. Like, it's silly to buy a pair of leggings that's expensive, but
must be Chad knows,
you know, yeah, Chad loves them too. But it's just how we feel. And so when you make a customer feel good and comfortable and that they're the hero and they're in control of things, that's really kind of what financing does, is it helps them be in control of their finances and their budget and, you know, how much they can afford every month and all of those things.
Hey, real quick. You said you kind of threw soft pull in there. Maybe for those who don't know what that means, it's a really important thing for you to understand what that is. Maybe just explain what a soft pull is.
Yeah. So it's a way for us to look at somebody's credit without getting it dinged. So, you know, eventually, yes, when a loan gets funded, there is a hard inquiry on a homeowner's credit. But really in that application process, they can feel comfortable of, I want to see, even if I qualify, what I qualify for, knowing that I don't have to get this hit as a hard inquiry on my credit just to see. And so once they get that approval or whatever happens, homeowners can then decide, do I want to move forward with this or not? And they don't have to feel that anxiety that this is ding their credit score just to apply.
Yeah. I'll tell you another important piece of this soft pull is it allows you to pre-approve customers. And find out, and it works both ways for the homeowner. You know, they may have some anxiety around, you know, am I going to be able to afford this? Am I going to look silly if I can't? What's this going to be? And so we send out a text message to all of our, at least HVAC estimates. It goes out at 3 o'clock every day for the appointments that we have tomorrow to say, hey, you know, a lot of our customers choose to use financing in this purchase. Feel free to go ahead and get pre-approved. It'll cut some time out of the process and so on and so forth. And so I think it allows them from that perspective. And then from our perspective, if you're a salesperson walking into someone who's already ran their credit and has already gotten approved for a certain amount of money, well, it makes that a lot easier to fit them into, you know, whatever system it may be because, well, they can afford said system or it works. And I think the other thing I was going to say when you were talking about, you know, or Chris asked the question on, you know, what plans are the most popular? I think it's more so about having a kind of a menu of things and then using that as a negotiation tool. Like we're often talking about warranties or IAQ or something like that. And what we found is we go to the customer with a, you know, a couple of options, but well, you know, this, that, and the other, well, what if I could get you in this loan? What does that look like for you? Well, tell me a little bit more about that. Well, it's defer, you know, all the things about this particular loan where that may fit their needs a little bit better. Obviously there's the popular ones, but something like that could put you over the top in getting a sale. Like, oh shoot, no one else offered me that product. And that seems like a good one. So I think it's been one of those things. I always feel weird because like before we got really heavily involved in this, it was like, you know, just sell equipment. And then we got into this financing realm that we all had to learn. And it's like, we're almost to the point where you're just as much a financing company as you are selling new systems when it comes to sitting at the kitchen table with a customer.
Well, you are, because of how much you push it and like your sales training. This is a big part of, I mean, I didn't even know you sent the text messages out. That's a great idea. And it makes total sense, right? I bet you just from that, you guys probably get a lot of pre-approvals just straight from that. I mean, hell yeah. I'd love to be a sales guy going into knowing what the pre-approval amount was when I walk into the home. Jeez.
They got a hell of a lot more confidence. That's for sure.
Well, that's something too, like with Tommy at A1 Garage Door with using Chirp, I think that they were doing a follow-up campaign and, you know, talked about it that way and just sending unclosed estimates. They did a follow-up thing with financing and got people approved with it. So there's a lot of creative ideas to make things affordable for people. And that's really what financing does.
This should be a salesperson's best friend. Right. You know, it is interesting though, because we talk about different verticals, like, you know, Chad and I, you know, I think, you know, Erica, Chad and I own Redbird Roofing together. And we have in Goodleap as our financing partner at Redbird. And it's like, but you're trying to train these guys on how to lead with financing. That's like, you know, German to them. Like they're like, wait, what? Like you can ask for, you don't just have to take it through the insurance process. You can finance it. Like, yeah. It's a different world. Like that's a whole other battle that we're fighting right now in the roofing space. But to me, yeah. Like if you could lead with financing options to get a large chunk sale done, like a roof or a unit, you know, an air conditioning unit, why would you not do that? I would use it, and I'm a salesperson.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other piece too is to that point about like, do your technicians understand the nuances of financing? It's exactly like any listener can relate to, well, why don't they offer that IAQ product? And you ask them and they're like, well, I don't know anything about it. I don't look stupid in front of the customer. Like, why would I offer that? And so we've really dove in on, especially the service lines, like your sales guys, like that's their world, right? Like they know it. A lot of them come from the car industry and different stuff like that. But you know, your plumber, like he's been a plumber. And so when you start talking like, well, offer financing, do that. Like you'll sell more stuff. It'll be great. They're like, well, I agree with you. I mean, I've talked to some of them. They're like, I agree 100%. I just don't know anything about this. Like, I don't even know how to explain it to the customer or like, what does deferred mean? Do they have to pay? Is there a minimum payment? Like all of these things. And so we've really focused our training on like the financing education for our technicians. Like, so they feel comfortable leading with financing. Like it's one thing just to say, do it. They all agree. Yeah. If my customer can pay $200 a month, that's a hell of a lot better than paying the $6,000 right today. But they don't, it's not something they've been exposed to. And so we've tried our best to expose them to that. So they feel like really, really comfortable. Like they're talking about, you know, that new water heater that they know everything about because they've been looking at one for 10 years.
Hey, Chad, do you think it's important when these guys are introducing financing to bring it up earlier in the conversation or later in the conversation with the homeowner? Because it seems like you're going to get to it. Everybody knows you're going to get to it. It's not like a secret. So what is your, like, should it be early in the process that they bring this, that they bring these options up?
We have conflicting views on it around here. I think my theory has always been trying to feel out a customer and making sure that they feel comfortable knowing that a lot of customers choose financing. I think if you bring it up at the table while you're presenting, it can often sound like, oh, well, you don't want to go with that option? Well, we have financing if you can't afford it. Like, that's never a good place to be. Right. So it's a delicate balance, I think. And I also think it depends what you're doing. You know, HVAC nowadays, I feel like most people, they're locked and load, like that's what we're going to do. You know, some of the smaller repairs, maybe not so much, but that's kind of what I've seen. Erica, what have you seen as you go around and talk to people, like what are people's philosophy on that?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it a lot of ways too, like the conflicting ideas. I personally think it can become part of a company culture. I train CSRs on the talking points of financing and teach them like, hey, if you have an install coordinator or something and you're taking that phone call, just plant the seed. By the way, we work with a financing company. Here's their name. Here's a couple of things about them. I'm going to send you a link in your confirmation text or email. If you'd want to get pre-approved, you know, it's here. Like something so simple and short. It can be 20 seconds. But even just starting there and it becomes part of your company, it becomes part of your culture and everybody's involved in it. Then it's like everyone talks about it and it's not like a weird, scary thing and mountains of paperwork type of idea that a lot of people have with financing. It's quick. It's easy. Of course, there's going to be the little questions that come up situational based that you can always reach out to GoodLeap for or whoever you work with on financing. But, you know, I start with the CSRs and then I, you know, technicians, make it part of your introduction. You know, just you don't have to go long on it. Just say you offer it. So that way, when you do get to kitchen table, it's not awkward.
Hey, what are some of, I'm going to pivot for a second. What are some of the misconceptions that contractors have about offering financing to consumers?
Yeah. I think that a lot of times they think that people don't want financing for something like this, right? Like this isn't something you finance, but it is because it's, prices have gone up. Everyone knows that everything's more expensive. So it's not necessarily something that's always been offered because it hasn't always been this expensive, but home services is expensive.
I don't
know. Do you have any that you've seen as well?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't think your customers need financing, I can tell you two things. One, your price isn't right. Cause I'm telling you, you're going to need some financing. Like not everybody has 15, 20 grand laying around for something that they didn't think was going to break. Like it's not the case. And then two is stop shopping with your own wallet. Just because you're like my dad and pay cash for everything and don't want to owe anybody anything doesn't mean that others don't. And you know, what is it? Credit card debt is at an all-time high right now. So yeah. Credit card is a form of financing. People are using it, obviously. So you know, like just meet them where they are. Like they're used to doing this. And so if they're used to doing it, like make it an enjoyable, make it, you know, a very easy experience for them is always my thought.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that you alluded to this a little bit, Chad. And when you're talking about when you're presenting financing, it can come across as like a negative, right? Because you feel weird that you don't have the cash to pay for it, even though it's $20,000. Like most people don't have a cash. So you have to like be able to alleviate that from the person to know like, hey, by the way, like this is the majority of people who don't just have 20 grand sitting around to pay for an air conditioning unit.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, another one too, is that people think that everybody wants a 0% interest, you know, cause that's one of the things that was going on in 2008, you know, like that you have to have a 0% interest loan. And that's not the case anymore. Just the economy's different. Like, yeah, that can be an option if you want it to be an option. Sure. But just be like the thinking that everybody wants that, that's not true. Like people are being offered different types of loans with different interest rates all the time, and they're being accepted. So,
yep,
that's a really great point. Yep,
it's the best point. Trust me. Our most popular loan is a 15-year, whatever the interest rate is now, 12.99 or something like that. Like it, and the way that we've always presented it is, people, if credit card debt's at an all-time high, that means that people are using credit cards. You get your credit card bill. What's the interest rate on your credit card? 30%, 25%? So I'm giving you actually a loan that's a hell of a lot cheaper than your current loan that you have out right now.
It's definitely not worth the sky miles, right?
Yeah.
Huh, Chad, I think, have you pitched this before, buddy?
This is one thing I'm so passionate about it, because as we learned about it, it literally changed the trajectory of our business. Wow. Like when we went from offering, all we used to offer was, what was the popular one? 0% for 60 months. Well, when we got away from that and offered these loans that were more advantageous to us as the business, our margins changed drastically. Because people were used to it. We just had to get over that fear of, well, everyone wants this. And again, not everybody wants or needs that. Yeah, you'll have the customer who's like, well, do you have anything for this? But that's when it goes back to a negotiation tactic. Well, yeah, I could get you in this loan, but I, you know, for that price, I probably have to bump you down a unit here, but I can get you in that loan on this system right here, and you're going to be good. Like it becomes a piece of what they're buying, is the financing package.
That feels like car sales. Like the way you just said that actually felt like a car sale.
Yeah. I mean, we're selling a small car.
Yeah.
At this point in time. Like, yeah. I mean, now car prices have gone up, but yeah, you're selling a Prius basically that they're going to put in their house.
Well, actually to that point, then this is for both of you. Like what, cause you mentioned earlier in the sales process, like you like to be able to, what are some of the like prereq questions that contractors can ask to even determine if financing is even a good option to roll out to these, you know, to a consumer?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, like, you know, people say this all the time. Don't assume, like you go to a certain house and just don't assume anything about their budget or their lifestyle or anything. Just doesn't matter the type of home they live in. Don't assume. It's one of the things, like, don't assume they want or don't want it. You just mention it. It's just part of your script, if you want to call it a script. If it's what you want to do and have available, like it's got to just be part of how you talk, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that's not what happens.
No.
A lot of times, like we could say that. That's not people. This is what's annoying. Chad's been to my place. Every time somebody comes to my house, I assume the worst. I assume they're like, oh, yeah. Like they just see dollar signs. I'm like, damn it. I know I'm going to get a stupid, like, the proposal is going to be all. And so I literally feel that way every time somebody comes and does something at my house. I know when I go home today and I see whoever came over to look at my unit or help me understand where this flooding came, I know I'm going to have some big invoice because they showed up at my house. But we do that too, right? Like we look at somebody and we make an assumption of what their value is, right? Like it sounds bad, but it's reality what happens. So we can sit here and say that. But really, it still happens. So my question is that, like, what are some of the prereq questions? Maybe, Chad, maybe you can answer this too, because you've done so much training on it. What are the questions that you're asking to know that you're going to ask this homeowner for financing? Like, you got to get them down the path to even make sure that they can do it. Like, what are some of those things?
You know, I think it's just as easy as, you know, hey, we'll go take a look at the unit. A lot of our customers use financing. I can put some options together with that. I can do, you know, if you want to, I mean, they'll tell you what kind of buyer they are. You know, a lot of them at this point in time with new systems, they're already asking like, or telling you where their monthly payment should be. I think that's another easy way to do it as you get closer to like, they're aware that they're going to have to do something. The water heater's leaking all over the floor. You know, hey, I'm going to put some options together. Where are you kind of, what do you want to look at? Are you more of a, you know, high end, low end? Where do you want to go? Where's kind of your monthly payment range? I can kind of tailor some options towards that, different stuff like that. Because when you talk about monthly payment range, well, you're working within a monthly budget in your household. Then they may tell you, I'm just paying cash for this. Okay, sounds good. All is created equal. I don't care how you pay for it, as long as you pay. But yeah, I think there's some stuff like that. And I think just getting to know the customer, right? They've already gotten a link to get pre-approved. So they already know financing is a thing. I think that's important. So it kind of tees up the, you know, the conversation of, oh yeah, you got that link, you know, don't worry if you didn't fill it out, not that big of a deal, so on and so forth. So I think it can be very casual. It's not like you need to know how they're paying for it when you present options. They just need to know that it's available.
Good point. I guess that makes total sense. Yeah, I guess it is a whole lot easier when you've already sent it to them to reference it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't want to spend their money for them. I get it. Okay. I'm going to shift gears for just a second. We're already like 30 minutes into this thing. We're 30 minutes into this podcast already. I'm going to shift gears on you, Erica. Are you guys, this is going to be a little bit of a two-parter. So I'll start with number one. Are you seeing more declines than normal right now?
So I know there's some parts of the economy that are rough, but I have also seen, once again, people maybe not always going for the most expensive option, people going for maybe a repair option now or something like that, so they can afford it a little bit more. They don't have to have, you know, a high, really high approval rate. They're only taking a little bit of an amount of money, so debt to income's not being affected as much, those type of things. So, you know, there's always this fun part of financing of you want it to be a win-win-win for everybody, right? It's got to be a win for contractors, got to be a win for homeowners, got to be a win for the lenders and the investors. And what is it that we can do to make that happen? And I know it's not always going to be the picture perfect for everybody and everything, but like our team at GoodLeap is a very good and strong team. And we work with people every single day to make things as easy as we can, knowing what the economy is right now. So,
yeah, it's got to be a hard question because it's like the one negative thing that you can have is a financing partner that can't get your customers financed, right? Like that's because otherwise it's not doing its job. But there is a market and an economy, and there is, like you said, the win-win-win. Like you have to take all these things into consideration. Yeah. So then what happens next is they say, well, Who is another lender that will get me financed at this credit range, right? Like it's just like this dance, right? So avoiding it, you might as well not avoid it because people are like they're thinking it, right? Like so you just gotta hit it head on, and it's like, you know, I wouldn't have you, Erica. I would have you on no matter what, but GoodLeap specifically, if I didn't believe, right? Because I mean, Chad used it, we use it, Redbird. So, but and we know it. You guys are a great partner, but it's like, you know, a lot of the contractors will jump around and like try to find an alternative solution who will get the lower, you know, the lower credit person. Well, there's also a risk with that. And there's still also a risk with that. Like, should they have actually gotten financing? Like maybe they shouldn't have gotten the financing. So like, that's gotta be the thing that you deal with. Like that gives you the most heartburn when we have those conversations.
It is hard. Cause you know, we do want to help wherever we can, but there is this aspect of you can only do what you can do, you know, as well. And so,
and it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
They won't approve this person with a 300 credit score. What are they doing? Well, I think there's a little bit of risk involved there, buddy.
It's like, I wouldn't loan money to my little sister.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know, but I would not loan money to my little sister. Why? Because the risk would be too great. I knew I wouldn't get it back.
Got to have a risk and a return, right?
Oh my gosh. Well, I actually do think though, I mean, I really do hope, I know I was, you know, we were talking about a little bit earlier, but I really do feel like there is a nice little uptick happening. Like, and so, I really do hope that we go into 2026 and it's like a really strong market. And I do feel like it's going that way. And I hope it is for everybody's sake. And that doesn't mean people won't need to use financing. It'll just be, maybe it becomes a little bit easier to actually get to the financing for the things done. I hate financing. I'm the same guy. I'm just like Pete Peterman. I would much rather just pay cash for it and not finance. Unless it's like a major thing where I'm like, if money's cheap, well, then maybe I would do it differently. Right. Cause then I would use cash for investments. But in this instance, like, man, because the hard part for you, Erica, is if your clients can't get approvals, that's when you guys have loss. But there also needs to be some education around why, I think, like, why is this happening? Like, it's maybe you're going after a bunch of Facebook leads of people who can't afford to do these things in the first place. Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things where, like, you guys have a mortgage loan or people have a mortgage loan. How often, like, has that mortgage loan been sold to a new investor, a new company, right? And those kind of things are out of our control. There's just this whole world behind it. And yeah, if people want more financing education, there's a lot of it out there. And if you are working in a certain demographic or geographical area where you work with, you know, some lower FICO score people, like, there are solutions out there. There are things that you can offer them. And you just want to make sure that you are legal, moral, and ethical with everything that you do. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think, Chris, you brought up a great point, and we measure this is declines by lead source. Because it's, to me, like, you can think that, oh, we're getting a lot of leads, and then turn around and blame the financing partner, but we're getting all these declines. It's like, well, maybe that lead source is attracting the wrong type of clientele. And maybe you need to switch off of that. We see that a lot with social media ads. It's a lot of like tire kickers, right? Mm-hmm. It's people that are, you know, oh, I saw the ad, I clicked on it, boom, I'm here. And then I get declined. And they really weren't intent on buying anything. They just wanted to see if maybe they could. And so we look at that as part of our marketing analytics of like where we're getting declines, where are those leads coming from? And maybe we need to shift funds out of that, even though it's producing leads. Obviously, those leads aren't turning into business.
Dude, that was a great bailout for Erica.
That was really good, Chad.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So Chad, you'll remember this. Back like in that whole 2020, 2021, when like socials kind of went bananas, like, it was different. Stop fucking thinking about that. The social media leads, did that from then, because this is not the same. But remember when I started testing, like, you know, it was $59, $69, $79, like fees, where I was like, well, what's the number that's going to, that I can get a Facebook lead? It's, you know, financing as low as $79 a month, $89 a month, whatever the number is. I just wanted to see, okay, when that went to contractor, did it close? Did it not close? When we started seeing the decline happening in like 2022 ish, like, started to increase, I was like, well, shit, we need to stop running these social media ads, because even though the cost per lead is low, they're not closing any of them because they can't pass a credit check. So there was like a diminishing return that happened there. I was like, well, let's not do that anymore. But then it makes it look bad on whoever your financing partner is, when really it's not even on them. It's like, no, but it made the marketing company look great. Here's your $69 cost per lead. That's when return on ad spend makes a big difference, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Shifting gears one more time. What are like some of the common mistakes that you see contractors when introducing financing? And Chad, you might deal with some of this too in your coaching platform, but like, Erica, what are you guys seeing? Like, what's the mistakes that you're seeing when these guys are introducing financing?
Offering too many options, right? What's
too many options?
Well, here's the thing. I've seen people pick 12 or 15 different loans with different terms and rates and promotions, and you're scrolling through everything wondering what you should pick. And it's harder to sell, especially as we were talking about, like, if you have a plumber or you have a technician that financing isn't their world, and you give them 15 options, like, which one do I pick? you know, your customer might see something, and it's just one of those things. Keep it short, keep it simple. You're only offering 3 to 5 options. Keep it the same for financing. The 3 to 5 options is very simple, and everybody can learn it and learn how to pitch it. So that's one of the things I think is, I do see people offering 15 different loans, and it just gets too convoluted.
Yeah. Chad, do you guys talk much about that in your group, the group that you coach?
Yeah, all the time.
I figured, yeah.
Every week. Every week we're talking about this. But yeah, Eric is right. I mean, we offer three options. If a customer really pushes back and is like, well, so-and-so offered me the plan C and we don't offer that. Okay, we can get it done. Like, we still have access to those in a rare circumstance. We can use all of them, but yes, she is 100% right. Just giving them a couple, because again, they have to be able to speak to them. They've got to be able to tell a customer, what is a deferred payment? Is there a prepayment penalty? Like, there's a lot of stuff that they've got to educate the customer on so that the customer knows exactly what they are getting in the finance product. Because if they don't, then you're getting a call when they get their stuff in the mail, like, I didn't know, you know, all of these things. So if you just have three, everybody can be really just like, they can rattle off how that loan works and so on and so forth and explain it very easily.
Yeah. So they're not overcomplicating. We're going to call it the In-N-Out menu. Okay. In-N-Out burger is very simple. Only a couple options. You can modify them. Only a couple options. But yeah, because you can't learn all these details about 15 different financing options. Like, pick three and learn them, and then you're good to go. That's kind of what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. I think Erica, another one too, though, is like just being open to offering financing on repairs. You know, a lot of times people think that you just need it for big installs, but we're seeing more and more just people getting financed on repairs just with how things are rolling.
Oh my gosh. I would never think to finance a repair.
Plumbing is a plumbing 18 months, no interest. That's the one we'd offer no interest on. That's the rock star. Gaynor taught me that one. I said, how do you do this plumbing thing? It's 18 months. That's the one you want.
What are you seeing as far as like job size that they're doing that on, like, or up
water heaters, different stuff like that? I mean, you're usually in the, you know, a couple thousand bucks, $2,000, $5,000, something like that in there. People are jumping on that all day long, especially if you can offer a no interest on that, because then you're just spreading out the payments. Like, well, I know you want to get the tanked water heater, but you can get the tankless and literally you can finance it and it's, you know, $70 a month. Like, well, shoot, I've been wanting one of those. That sounds like a great deal.
Makes total sense. I'll be damned. Didn't
we're learning all the time.
Wow. Huh. I guess that's like a mental shift. I don't know why I would never think you would finance, you know, a service or a repair. I guess it makes total sense. If you're doing really that kind of is a new installation though, right? Because
people do rewires all the time if they want to upgrade their electrical panel, like, you know, all of those things.
Wire their pergola.
Yeah. You didn't finance that.
I did not finance that. Should have. I'd have been better off. Okay. Hey, Erica, is there anything that I or Chad haven't asked yet that we wish you'd have asked just to kind of share with the listeners around financing or anything? Any of the above? I mean, I don't know what it would be, but.
No, you know, I think this, I hope that this has been helpful and everyone's been able to get some kind of golden nugget or something to think about with it, you know, and with financing and looking at all the different options out there, like, who do you want to work with? Who do you want to choose as your financing, you know, person or company? My advice is talk to them all and find the fit, right? And because wherever you're at, like, you're going to want to work with people you like and that can back everything up. And, you know, maybe GoodLeap is not going to be for everyone and that's okay. But I recommend having those conversations and finding something that fits your business and vetting them just like you would any other company out there that you choose to work with.
All right. There you go. Well, hey, well, why don't you share with the listeners and how they can get in touch with you, Erica?
Yeah, you could find me always on LinkedIn. You could probably find me off of Chad's website. We got Good Leap on your website somewhere. So
you're on mine too. Thank you.
Yes, we got it on there. But really find us on LinkedIn. I'm sure we could put my phone number, email in the show notes or something. And I'm more than happy to have those talks with anyone who's interested.
Awesome. Awesome. Chad, you got anything else, bro? Or you want me to close her out?
I don't. Thanks, Erica. I love, as you can tell, I love talking about this stuff. I've even got notes on my end of things that you mentioned that I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know if we do that anymore, or we need to get back to doing that. So appreciate all of the advice and thanks for all you do for us, for sure.
Thank you. We love working with y'all.
Chad's so giddy about financing. God.
All right.
I'm going to text Emily. Chad is giddy about financing in case you want to have a creative conversation. Now, hey, listen, I didn't say this at the beginning too, and I meant to, Erica, but really appreciate you, Good Leap's support over the last few years at RhinoX. So thank you. I guess the last 3 years, you did the VIP dinner the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And then you guys really stepped up to the day sponsor last year, which was awesome. And I really felt good about day sponsor. I was going to say this because I was just negotiating this with another event that I'm going to using my own tactic. And that was, I literally left Good Leap up on the big screens the entire day on main stage.
Every single picture was there. Yeah. And I would just say, like, for any other person that is like looking to sponsor an event or something like that, like what you guys did for Good Leap at that event, the water bottles, the mints, the little things, the signage everywhere, like coming in as that sponsor was like, it just made me feel so good. And that you guys like really valued all of that.
Yep.
You know, thank you. It was, and it's such a great event. I love RhinoX.
Thank you so much. I just started planning for 2026. Like I'm at the very beginning of it. So I'm not sure what the hell I'm going to do to updo this past year's when you create a freaking circus tent inside of a building. I'm not sure.
I don't know what you're going to do, but I can't wait to see it.
We're going to get it figured out. Speaking of which, Chad, where in the hell is your award, dude? Where is it at?
They were supposed to ship it to me.
We still have your award?
I think. Yeah. They were supposed to ship it to me because I couldn't fit it in my suitcase, obviously.
Because it's that big. Yeah.
Big old rhino.
Well, I better see that son of a bitch on that
window.
I'll
put it up. There. Yeah, that'd be a good spot for it. Go right next to Blake's picture.
Right next to Blake's picture. Perfect. Well, listen, Eric, I appreciate you coming on here, giving us time. And again, thanks for waiting on me. Thanks for making financing fun.
Oh, thank you. I love it. I appreciate the conversation, you guys. You're the best.
Thank you so much. Well, to our listeners, if you're not offering financing, you are selling yourself short. Like what I did there?
Good.
But you get, listen, like even if you don't know how to do it, I mean, good. Good Leap is a great partner and they will help teach you as well. But also, if you haven't offered it, maybe now's the time to start thinking about it. It certainly will help you. If you don't know how to offer, you just need to educate yourself. And even though, like they were talking about, there could be a bunch of different options. Maybe you just land on three because you can handle three. Maybe it's just one to start. I don't know, who knows, but do something. Yeah. You know, side note is what I heard Erica say is, and Chad both is, don't spend their money for them. If you walk up to a trailer park, don't just assume they can't afford an air conditioning unit. Okay. I've seen some air conditioning units on trailer parks. Maybe that was a bad example. Maybe I should use something different. I'm not knocking anybody listening to trailer park, by the way. Okay. Just so it's real clear. Point was, don't spend people's money for them. Right. And financing is a great option to help scale your business. So you don't got to do everything, but what do you got to do, Chad?
You got to do something. No, zero days.
Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.